Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all? Obviously, I'm not Catherine. I'm Brandon. And for y'all that don't know me, for all of you who do know me, it's good to see you. I'm home for the weekend right now. Let's go ahead and rise and we'll get started. Let's begin today with a word from Psalm 117. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Into marvelous light I'm running, out of darkness, out of shame. Through the cross you are the truth, you are the life, you are the way.
God's word today from Psalm 20, beginning with verse 1. The Lord will answer you in times of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob will protect you. He will send you help from his holy place and support you from Zion. He will remember all your grain offerings and look with favor on your burnt offerings. He will give you your heart's desire and carry out all your plans. This is the word of God. I have lots of plans, but I can't always say that they're God's plans, and that's my problem. That's where I fall short, because I don't have always the mind of Christ, the heart of Jesus. I don't always ask God to guide me and his spirit to lead me, and therefore I end up going in ways that aren't really good for me, aren't really good for those around me, certainly aren't good for God's kingdom. So, I'm going to confess that before God, and I'm going to encourage you to do the same using the prayer of confession. Please pray with me. Oh Lord, I don't thank you enough for the plan of salvation which Jesus executed to give me forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. I'm not always diligent in my planning. I have a hard time letting go and letting you take control. I'm not always faithful in offering you the first part of my income. I'm quick with words, but slow to work hard at managing the resources you've entrusted to my care. Forgive these sins that are on my heart and mind. Forgive all my sin. Our sins mess everybody up. But God is just and forgiving. He is righteous, but he's merciful and gracious. And it's in that grace, in that mercy, that favor that he shows to you, even though you don't deserve it, even though I don't deserve it, that I'm able to say these words from Jesus to you. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven in the name and the power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Rejoice now in that forgiveness. Rejoice as we sing our next song.
Don't give
of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up.
Breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Children, come forward for the children's message. And lots of children we have. Wow. All right, so I don't know what's in the box. I'm going to take a look and try to guess what it is. Aha. This is a plastic version of something that dogs like. That's exactly what it is. It's a bone. Yeah. So what can you tell me about this? Yes. Yeah, they like to chew on bones, don't they? Yes, what else? They like to bury bones, yeah, so they can use them later. Mm-hmm. So it's like a massage for their teeth when they chew on it. And it's got a squeaky toy in it, so it squeaks a little bit. Doesn't squeak a lot. That's good. I like this. Anything else? How about, what can you think of in God's Word? Yes.
It's like God's Word
when you fetch it. When we fetch God's word, yeah, because he kind of like, you know, puts it out there for us and he wants us to do something about it, right? He doesn't just put it out there and say, ah, just leave it. He says, actually, this is really good for you. You want this. You need this. And it even says in scripture that when we begin to read God's word, that it becomes like honey on our lips. What does honey taste like? Like sugar. Does it taste good? Yeah, it's really sweet and it's yummy. And so God's word becomes really delicious, you know. It may not seem that way when you first start reading it because maybe you don't understand it a lot or because somebody's making you do it. But the more you read it, the better it gets. And God does more with it. The more you read it, and it becomes more a part of you, and the blessings that come from God's word, from his scripture, from the Bible, get even better as you not only listen to it and learn it, but memorize it and use it. Then it becomes even a bigger help in your life as you begin to rely upon it, trust in it, and put your faith in it. Boy, great things happen. It gives us all kinds of great blessings. It gives us love and patience and joy and faithfulness and gentleness and kindness and self-control. It gives us peace and hope and love. So there are just great, great benefits that come from fetching God's word, from getting God's word and holding on to it and chewing it and you know, gaining all the benefits from it. So what do you think we should do with God's word? Should we listen to it? Should we read it? Should we memorize it? Yeah. Should we use it? Yeah. Should we do what it says? Absolutely. All right. Well, let's ask God to help us do that. Because you know what? We're going to make mistakes. We're not always going to do it. Yeah. But God forgives us through his son, Jesus Christ. And we're going to thank him for that. And he helps us through his Holy Spirit, who he gives to us to help us hear God's word and to use it and understand it and live it. All right, let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. It is like honey when I taste it, when I read it, when I learn it, when I memorize it, when I use it, when I live it, good things happen. You give me so many blessings through your word. So help me by your spirit to use your word regularly, to grow in it, to become like it. And thank you, Lord, for Jesus, who forgives me when I don't. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to talk about a plan today. So specifically, we're not talking about just any old plan, but we're talking about a cash flow plan. Now, there's another name for a cash flow plan. Anybody know what that's called? Budget. That's right. But you know why I'm not calling it a budget? Because people hate budgets. Budgets are no fun, right? You know, we have all these negative connotations. We think deprivation whenever we think of budget. We think of denial whenever we think of budgets. We're going to use the word cash flow plan. Even here at Word of Life, in our constitution and officially, we don't have a budget. We have a financial plan, an annual financial plan. And there's a reason why we use that kind of terminology, because we want to stay away from the negative connotations. And cash flow plan or financial plan, especially cash flow plan, you know, talks more about money coming in as well as money going out, because we like the money coming in. We're just not a fan of the money going out, right? So it's a little bit of more of a positive spin on things. But we're going to use both words. We're going to use budget in this quote from Dave Ramsey. If you don't know who Dave Ramsey is, you need to get to know who Dave Ramsey is. He's on TV. He has a radio show. He has, what is my opinion, the best, easiest to live by and understand financial plan works for everybody. He calls them baby steps, and you can learn more about it through Financial Peace University. That's the best way to learn about it, or by buying some of his books, and you can learn about it there too, or even from coming to some of my messages, because you kind of got an outline of that the other week. When he has this myth, his myth is, I don't have time to work on a budget, and the truth is, you don't have time not to, because having a budget, having a cash flow plan will help you save time in the long run, and it will also help you save treasures. You'll grow in your finances if you have a plan to work it. So why don't we use a budget or a financial plan or cash flow plan? Well, because we've done it in the past and it was too tight. We didn't allow for fun stuff, right? And so it was like, this is no fun. I don't want to do this anymore. It's always important when you write a budget to make sure it's not too tight, that you have room for some wiggle, that you can reallocate funds, that you can make sure that you're doing some fun stuff like vacations and going out to eat occasionally. So some of those fun kind of things in there. You know, probably the only word that I can think of that's more scary than the word budget is the word diet, right? You know, again, it's like, I'm going to deprive myself. That's what it feels like, right? There's a good reason for that. The original word that budget comes from, it's a French word, okay? But the original meaning of the French word from which we get the word budget means little purse. No lie, little purse. And what it was is, you know, you'd have a bigger purse, and back then they didn't have, like, you know, credit cards and stuff. They had coins. You had big honking coins, you know, gold, silver, and copper. And the bigger purse you had, the more likely you were to spend it, because if you don't have it with you, you can't buy anything. So if you get a little purse, a budget, then you don't spend as much. So even the origin of the word has to do with depriving yourself of limiting your expenses. And that's too bad. It's too bad that that's the connotation we have for budgets, because it's not just about that. Also, budgets have been used to abuse people, to control people, to manipulate people. How many of you at work, perhaps, or in an organization that you volunteer for, or even at home, have been abused by a budget before? Oh, nobody's raising their hand. Oh, here's one. Okay, a few others now, yeah. I asked this question once in a sermon, and my wife raised her hand. I was like, what? You know, and she said, no, it was at work. It was at work. So it's been used to abuse. Another reason we don't use budgets is we're afraid of the truth. And it's funny, the people who are most scared of budgets, who don't want to have a budget, are usually the ones who need it the most. That's why they're so scared of it, is because They already know there's a problem, but they're afraid of budgets because they're afraid that those problems are going to be identified, which they will. But once you identify the problem, then you can deal with the problem. If you don't identify the problem, you can't deal with the problem. So we're afraid of the truth. Or maybe we had a budget once and it didn't work. You know, we tried that. It didn't work. Well, there are a lot of reasons why budgets that we try don't work. One is we left things out. You know, so you write this nice budget, it looks great, sounds great, and then, you know, a couple weeks later, the car breaks down, and you got a $1,000 bill that you didn't account for, right? And so we do with our budgets when that happens sometimes what we do with our diets. Oh, I broke my diet. What's the use, right? And so you eat like crazy after you broke your diet once. Well, that's not how you make diets work. You know, they don't work that way. Budgets don't either. If you break them, you just need to go back to it the next day. You know, you need to keep going back to it. Maybe make some adjustments here and there. Same thing with diet. By the way, I've lost over 30 pounds in the last year and 3 months, which I didn't think was all that big of a deal until I read the other day that 12 is sort of the standard average weight loss for a person over a year. 12 pounds. That's pretty good, but I never went on a diet to do that. I just ate different foods, and I ate less of certain foods and more of other foods. You need to hear that part. I ate more of other foods. I probably eat more food now than I did before. I just eat better foods. So I don't ever feel hungry, but just make those changes. You have a plan, and you work the plan, and it works. We overcomplicated it. Patty and I have a very simple budget, and not all of it is detailed. The big things, the things that are priorities for us are. And not only are they planned, but they are automatic. So there are things we once a year get together and decide how much are we going to give to the Lord this year and to which organizations are we going to do that. So we have our tithe, the Word of Life. We have another tithe, another 10% that goes to the Therefore Go, our building program, and then we pick one organization every month that we give to in addition. So, you know, we have fun doing that and then just putting it all on autopilot, going through our bill pay or through our credit cards, automatic payments or whatever, but it's all automatic. It all happens without our intervention, and it comes right off the top. We don't even miss it. Same thing with income tax. You know, I have to pay quarterly taxes because the IRS sees me as a self-employed person, and I have to pay, you know, the extra for Social Security and all that jazz. I have to do the quarterly stuff. So that just comes right off the top, goes directly into savings. We already have that figured out. It's all automatic. So we do all of that. And then after that, we talk about the other items that we want to spend money on. And we probably don't have as much detail as we need or as most people need for sure. But we have learned to be frugal over the years and wise in our expenditures. And so if we're wondering, then we talk about it and work that out and get that out of the way. But it's not complicated. It's pretty simple. And it works really well. Another big problem, or one reason why budgets or cash flow plans don't work, is because we didn't write it down. Writing it down is really important. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be on paper. It can be in Quicken or Mint, or you need a budget or something like that. But it helps to have it written down somewhere where you can see it and review it. And then finally, we didn't live it. Maybe it looked good on Quicken or good on paper, but then you never looked at it again. It's not going to help you any. You know, that's not going to help. So why we should have a cash flow plan? Proverbs 21, verse 5. Careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. This is from a paraphrase from the Message, but it's real close to the original. I just picked it because it had the hurry and scurry in there, and I like that. Hurry and scurry. If you have no meaningful goal, no meaningful destination in mind, then guess what? You're probably not going to reach a meaningful destination. A significant goal is not going to be gained. So, or if you happen to read the quote I had from Benjamin Franklin up on the sign, if you watched Through the Cycle, he has this great thing that's attributed to him. We don't really know for sure whether he said it or not, but it's usually attributed to him. And it's this. It's like, failed to plan, then you plan to fail. Fail to plan, then you plan to fail. So a good plan does a lot of good things for us. A good plan reduces stress, anxiety, and panic. You know, you don't need a budget if you don't care whether your credit card goes through or not when you give it to the cashier. You don't need a budget if you don't care if you get checks returned with insufficient funds and have all kinds of fees that you have to pay. If you're not embarrassed by that, if you don't mind what happens to your financial future, if you don't mind that somebody else might be forced to take care of you, if you don't mind that later on you're going to have to live in deprivation because you don't have a choice anymore. Now you have a choice. Later on you may not have a choice. So a good plan reduces stress, anxiety, and panic and guilt. Oh, I spent that money when I shouldn't have, you know, and you lose sleep. A good plan also improves your marriage. A good plan improves your marriage. As I mentioned the other week, the number one reason that divorced couples give for why they got divorced is financial conflict. Now, I've worked with couples long enough to know that financial conflict is usually one piece of many things, two of which are usually lack of communication, and secondly, don't have really good conflict resolution skills. In fact, that's sort of a given. You know, conflict resolution is not something that comes naturally to us. Most of us are not good at it. And it's really too bad because it's really just problem solving among two people. But we haven't learned to do that, so we're not very good at that. So a good plan improves your marriage. If you don't have a good plan, you probably fight pretty regularly in your marriage, and it's about finances. Typically is. Here's an example of how this sometimes works out. So the guy comes home, the husband comes home, and he's got this big 70-inch 4K TV screen that's curved, and it has a Blu-ray player that he bought with it with, 4K and everything. He's all excited, and his wife is like, oh no, I was saving that money for vacation. How could you? Or maybe let's switch it. Maybe she, you know, says, honey, I booked the tickets. We're going to go to, you know, Hawaii this year or whatever. And he's like, oh, no, I wanted a big screen TV. I already had a plan. I had it picked out. I've done all the research, you know, blah, blah, blah. So this is how fights get started. If you don't have a plan, if you don't communicate about it, if you don't solve these problems where you don't agree on something, then you're going to have difficulty in marriage. But this is how it could have worked out. They could have had a plan. And when you're making a plan, you have three options, right? You can compromise, you can prioritize, or you can do without eyes. Those are your three options. And, you know, they could have talked about this ahead of time and said, okay, you know, honey, I know you want to go on vacation, but maybe instead of getting the big 70-inch and getting the Blu-ray player, I just get a 50-inch and just a 1080p for now, and we'll skip the Blu-ray player, and that'll leave enough money that we can go on vacation. We can't go to Hawaii, but maybe we can go to the Caribbean somewhere, and maybe we can, you know, make lunches for ourselves, or maybe we can drive somewhere and not go to an island. We can go to Galveston Island, there we go, or South Padre or something, and we'll drive. And so there are all different kinds of things that you can do to compromise. But you know what? You can't compromise if you don't talk about it, if you don't plan, if you don't resolve that conflict in your desires and your values and such. So that's one thing, is you can compromise. The other thing is you can prioritize. You can say, okay, well, you know what? Why don't we do the vacation this year? And then next year, I'll get my big screen TV. By then, they'll be even bigger and better than they are now for the same price. You can compromise and come up with good solutions that way. And of course, we can do without eyes is basically you're saying, oh, we can't agree on this, so maybe it's better right now anyway to temporarily say, we're going to just do without and see, you know, given some time, where God directs us. We'll pray about it, think about it, and come up with something else. You know, that's what happens when you plan. I have a friend, he's got this all rigged. He's got it figured out. I admire him for this. He does a pie date 4 times a year with his wife. A pie date. And it's kind of cool because, you know, you get to go have something sweet and good. You wreck your diet, but you get a budget instead. So this is good. It's a good compromise, right? So it's a compromise itself. That also limits them, right? They can only have pie when they have a budget discussion. So they go, and they go to a public place. Why do you think they go to a public place? So they don't yell at each other. What? Yeah, so they don't argue. So they're more respectful of each other as they're talking about this kind of stuff. You know, it's great, too, because, you know, she's a real math person. She's, like, always keeping track of all the details. He's definitely not. So they balance each other out really well this way. And if you've been through my Prepare and Rich course, you already know that this is a typical kind of pattern. Usually, spenders don't find other spenders to spend the rest of their life with. You know why? Because they will soon run out of money and they know they'll both be unhappy because they'll have nothing. Savers don't usually seek out savers to spend the rest of their life with. You know why? It would be boring and not fun. They'd get tired of each other and not ever doing anything. They wouldn't like that. So that usually doesn't happen either. So God just arranges it so that he takes our strengths and helps make up for others' weaknesses. We make each other better in a good marriage. You know, spenders typically find savers. Savers typically find spenders. And if they can compromise, it makes a great combination. But you got a plan, and maybe you need a pie date. So blow your diet, build your budget, and enjoy a nice piece of pie 4 times a year. Proverbs 16, verse 3, put God in charge of your work, then what you planned will take place. Notice, this is really good. We all kind of get fixated on, man, my plans are going to take place. I can plan some pretty great stuff. Well, but notice what has to come first. Put God in charge. It's not like consult with him. Not say a quick prayer or let's make a plan and then ask God to bless it. That's what we normally do. This is like, no, God, you take control of my life. You take control of my will. You take control of my thinking, my feeling, my values, my priorities. And then it'll be a piece of cake. He'll give us our piece of pie. He'll give us exactly what is our heart's desire when our heart desires what he desires. You know, having and using a budget, managing your money just makes your money go farther. And it has more significance because it does things that make a difference in our own lives and in the lives of other people too. When you manage your money, when you have a cash flow plan, you get to see where you're overspending, where you're underspending. Where you're overspending, you can go, oh, you know what, I need to cut back here. Or where you're underspending, you can say, oh, I can take these funds and apply over here where I'm wanting to spend a little bit more. So you can kind of control that and work that. John Maxwell says this, and I love this saying, a budget is telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. You ever wonder where your money went? It's probably because you didn't have a plan, or you had a budget buster that came up that busted it. Professional planners say that there are 3 key things that you have to have in order to have financial success. 3 key things. One is reduce your debt. Number 2 is increase your savings. And number 3 is have a plan. Chances are you're not going to do very well on number 1 or number 2 unless you have number 3, unless you have a plan. All 3 of those are really, really important. So what are some characteristics, qualities of a good cash flow plan? Psalm 23 through 4. He will remember all your grain offerings and look with favor on your burnt offerings. He will give you your heart's desire and carry out all your plans. There's that promise again. God's going to carry out all my plans. But again, something else comes first. What is it? Your offerings. In this case, it's grain offerings and burnt offerings. In the Old Testament, that's what it was. For us, it's not. You know, we don't bring grain and calves and lambs and stuff to church. Good thing, right? Makes my life a little bit easier. You bring a checkbook, you have offerings, or you have your bank send a check. That's what we do because it's all automated. But you work it out that way. And when we do that, then God gives us the plans of our heart. That is, if you are following his will, right? If it aligns with godly values. A good cash flow plan aligns with godly values. Now, this is different. You know, we tend to think, oh, so my offering to the Lord is all I need to worry about. As long as I give an offering. So say you give a tithe, maybe give 10% of your income to the Lord. That means I can do whatever I want with my 90%, right? No, it doesn't work that way. 100% of the pie belongs to God. We learned that the other week. And God is interested in everything about us, everything that we have, everything that we are. In the Old Testament where it talks about the burnt offerings, here in Psalm, it uses a word that you've heard before, Holocaust. But Holocaust originally doesn't mean what you thought it meant. Originally, it meant whole offering. where you take basically a calf or a lamb or whatever and you burn it. You burn everything. The priest would cut it up. They'd put it on an altar, the burnt offering altar, and they would burn it even with the bones and stuff. The bones would stay up on the top of the grate for, you know, a long time, drying out, getting more brittle and dry, and eventually would turn into dust. It just took a long time. But that was what God demanded. And that's what God demanded from his son Jesus, to give his whole being as a sacrifice, a selfless sacrifice, a whole offering, his whole body, which is now broken for you and its blood shed for you so that you and I would have forgiveness. It's because of his generosity that we now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, can be generous back and live our life in such a way. In fact, in Romans 12 verse 1, Paul is just in 11 chapters masterfully, comprehensively summarized his entire belief about faith, what the Bible teaches about grace and faith and righteousness and justification and forgiveness. And he's put it together in what I think is the best possible way in chapters 1 through 11. In chapter 12, he turns a corner and he says, therefore, in view of all that God has done, now offer your bodies as a holocaust, is what the Greek word means, as a burnt offering, as a living, but he says living whole offering. So he wants you to give your whole living self to the Lord. So he's concerned not just with your 10% if you're a tither, but with your 90% as well, that you're living it according to his values and will. A good cash flow plan is informed by wise counsel. If you're married, you got to talk about this. You got to agree, right? Well, at least talk. The agreement might take longer. We're getting to it. It's informed by wise counsel. If you're not married, you should still be talking, maybe to a parent. You don't have to agree with your parents all the time, but they've lived longer than you have. They're wiser than you are in many areas, and they've seen a lot, and finances are an area where you might have something that you can learn from them. Maybe not, but it helps to talk. The other week I mentioned, you know, maybe you shouldn't listen if the only person you have to listen to is your ditzy friend who has terrible financial problems. Right after I said it, it was like a week later, I read this article that said, it's actually helpful when you do talk to your ditzy friend who has all kinds of financial problems and talk to them about your finances. And it's like, they didn't really say in the article why in the research, but I have to think it has to do with the fact that you're at least talking about it, becomes more clear what your needs and desires and values are, your priorities are, as you talk to somebody else about it, even if they don't agree with you. Just being able to express that's helpful, having that listening ear. I think the other thing is, if we're talking to somebody about it, guess what that means? We're not just doing it right away. You're waiting. So most of our financial problems have to do with impulse buying and quick decisions that we make with our finances that later on we're kind of sorry for. You have either buyer's regret or investor's regret. I've been there, done that, you know. So you got to talk to somebody, and that kind of controls that and helps with that. The other thing is, you can say, man, they've really messed up their life and now they're telling me to do the same thing. No way, I'm not doing that. You know, it's that you can learn from negative examples just as well as you can from positive ones if you're smart. So it's informed by wise counsel. I would go for the wise person first. It's written. There's something almost magical about writing down priorities, values, goals, you know, putting them down on a piece of paper. First, it makes it more clear. Now I better understand what I truly believe. It gives you time to think about it, rethink it, revise it. And so writing it down makes it more clear. In Amazon, when they first got started, they decided no more PowerPoints, no more presentations. They do narratives. And they finally came up with a limit because people were writing too much. They were writing up to 6 pages. So they limited it to 6 pages. That's as much as we're going to read. And basically, if you had an idea, it had to be written down. Because it's more clear, because it can be kept, because it can be tracked, because it makes sure that you are thinking about this correctly rather than just spouting off a bunch of stuff that you really hadn't thought about a whole lot. Sounds good out loud, but will it really work? Well, you know, Here it's all written down. It's written. There's something almost magical about it. It's motivating to see progress toward a goal. But if you don't have the goal written down, it's hard to see the progress you're making towards that goal, much less see the goal itself. So it's important to have it written. It's agreed upon. You know, if you're married, it's agreed upon with the person that you're married with. It's lived on. It's not just something that sits in a drawer. You're actually doing it. And it's reviewed and adjusted regularly. You know, a good budget, you're changing all the time. You're making little tweaks and because it's a plan. It's a plan and things change and circumstances change. Your understanding of circumstances change. And so as that happens, you're making little tweaks and changes, but you're doing it to make it better, you know, and it, to improve things. A good cash flow plan does all those things. Number four, live it. It's not good enough just to know your budget or to stick it in a folder or have it on a computer screen. You need to be living it. You got to be doing it. Proverbs 14:23, in hard work, there's always something gained, but idle talk leads only to poverty. One of the things that's motivating to me is to hear stories of other people who've gotten this right. And that's what we have in this next quote from C. Davis. You need to get on a written budget and get intense about getting out of debt. We paid off $22,000 in debt in 10 months on a $50,000 salary while raising 8 children. You just need a plan, not a quick fix. That's tremendous. This is a huge example. It can be done. I'm sure that they had side jobs that they had to do temporarily. I'm sure they had to cut a lot of expenses and cut everything down to the bone, but they got intent upon doing it and decided to do it and did it. So hats off to them. By the way, that comes from DaveRamsey.com website. Suggested resources. Obviously, none of these are suggested in the Bible. These are just me talking to you. I've given you the biblical principles and the biblical ideas, but now how do you live them? These are just things that are helpful to me and have been helpful to people that I've talked with. Financial Peace University is pricey. It's $120 per couple. It's a one-time fee, and you can go through the course as many times as you want to after you pay that fee. Well worth it, because the people who go through it end up reducing debt and increasing savings, and with the increase in savings and reduced debt, they save multiple times over in interest that they would have paid in debt or in interest and investment income that they get from their savings. So, you know, maybe you can't afford not to pay $120 for Financial Peace University. The other thing is, if you're a couple, you watch the DVDs together, you discuss things together, you work on the worksheets together, whereas if you just read a book or do an online course, you may not be doing it together, and it's better if you all agree. It's not the only thing out there. It's just the easiest and the one that's best known, and you have more support from other people who've gone through it. So it's there. If for whatever reason you're like, no, I'm not going there, I'm not doing the Dave Ramsey stuff, then look at crown.org. Larry Burkett started this years ago. He's since gone to heaven. But crown.org is a nonprofit organization. They make a lot of materials available free on their website. They have a very, very inexpensive financial freedom online course. It's like $14.95. I think that's per person, but that's still very much well worth the cost. So very affordable. A software. If you're going to do a plan, it's helpful to have software to do it on. Mint is available for use on your computer or phone. For your phone, you're going to go to the App Store or for tablet. For your computer, you might go to mint.com and use it there. Every dollar is free at everydollar.com. It's a Dave Ramsey product, so it uses his principles. That app is also free on the app stores. You need a budget. I've never used it, but I've heard good things about it. People have said it's the best budget program that is available. It is. You have to purchase it. I've been using Quicken, and so we still use Quicken. We will be probably for a while. It works with TurboTax. I do my own taxes, so it works with that, and I've just learned to use it, so I don't want to learn something else. But take the time to do that. But that's a possibility. If you're going to buy a book, the best book or the first book that I would encourage you to use is Your Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. We carry it here. It's not available this weekend. It probably won't be either next weekend because we have all of your giving statements out for the third quarter on the table. So we took up all that space. But it will be out there for $16. It's usually $24.95. That's the list price on it. So we sell it for our cost, which is $16. Makes a great gift for your kids or grandkids, too. If you're going to read a book, that's the best book to get. Again, if you're a couple, it's harder to read a book and then agree on it. It's still better to go through the class, but it's good. And if you want to go farther, there is a workbook that you can work together as a couple on filling in the blanks and making that work too. Then what I have next is just a sample of a budget, and it's for a gross income of $73,000, so these numbers are going to seem pretty slight, and it's because $73,000 is not a lot of money. The median income that you guys are probably more used to, at least the average for 78108 in 2016, this is 2018 already, was $91,827. So these numbers might seem small, it's because they are. And the ones that are down there can be adjusted up or down. It's just a sample, so you can see what a budget looks like. And this is a pretty simplified one. It's not real fancy or whatever. If you want to do a worksheet with these percentages and see what some suggested percentages are, crown.org, they have ones for various income levels that you can take a look at. You know, it gives you just an idea of what are some good studied percentages that other people have come up with. It's always going to be different for each individual and each couple. Well, that's enough about planning. Let's plan to close this. So let's plan to give this all to God in prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the plan of salvation that Jesus lived and lived out to the death and to new life, for giving us the ability to make careful plans, for promising to bless us in every way when we surrender everything to your control, and for remembering our sacrifices and blessing us in even greater measure. Lord, we thank you for healing Becky, for the recent marriage of Anand and Kara, for all your blessings, and for financial assistance, for over $203,000 given so far to our Therefore Go Building Fund, for all the blessings and resources that you've entrusted to our care and your promise to multiply them to build a bigger heaven and better lives. We ask that you would inspire and empower us to plan carefully, to transfer control of everything we have to you, to be faithful in offering you the first portion of our income, to move beyond words to the work of planning and managing the resources God has entrusted, that you've entrusted to our care. I pray that you would bless missionary Pastor Matt and the people of Cornerstone as they reach out to people in Buda, that you would bless our government to provide justice and protection for the good of all its people, that you would bless our leaders with your wisdom and guidance, that they would lead according to your will. That you bless victims of persecution, violence, terrorism, and disaster, especially flood and hurricane victims. I pray that you would bless and protect our troops and their families, especially Isaac and Juan, for new or better employment for Jamie, Anne Marie, Mark, and Karen, for healthy pregnancy and delivery for Kelly, Carly, Aaron, Molly, Sharon, and Sophia, for Lenoria and her premature baby boy, that you would bless Tammy and Becky and the new Stephen Ministry trainees as they begin this week. We pray for mercy and certain hope for Dot in her last days, that you would comfort the family and friends of Zach as they mourn his death, that you would heal Al, the Sibtani family, John, Milagro, John, Sophia, Jamie, Coleman, JC, Kaylin, Jean, Bob, Jenna, Maria, Ray, Adriana, Hayden, Penny, Rick, Paul, Monica, Katie, William, Denise, Charlene, Gail, Ashley, Amanda, Lynn, TC, Benny, Danielle, Ed, Lisa, Diana, Courtney, Brenda, Forrest, Charlie, Marianne, Larry, Ginger, Eric, TJ, Rufus, Morgan, Chris, Nick, and Riley, Wesley, and Lyle. Pray that you would heal those battling cancer, especially Joan, Rita, Buster, Elward, Carrie, Ada, Jean, Lawrence, Tom, Antonio, Kathy, Jason, Kathy, Jeanette, Fred, Sarah, Cheryl, Hyman, John, Twyla, Mary Lou, and Harold, and that you would strengthen their families, and that you would connect people to Jesus and to his kingdom. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive a blessing from the Lord. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen.
unbreakable. Every chain is breakable with you. We are victorious. You are stronger than our hearts. You are greater than the dark. With you, we are victorious. Nothing is impossible. Every